Hey, we're back. Okay, we're talking about fee increases, boating, the state boating act, boating license increases. A lot of stuff going on in the General Assembly. I mean, a whole laundry list of natural resources stuff. Let's talk to Andy, who's been waiting in Catonsville for quite a while. Thank you for holding, Andy. How you doing,
hey,
buddy?
Alan.
What's up, man?
Hey, I tried to call you. I was going to call you last week, but I had to go to the Harbor Hotel again for 3 days.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I had another infection in my thumb.
Yeah, and that's not good.
It was, I tell you, I don't know, the other one was healing and all, and they said it just comes, the germs are right in your tap water, right in your shower.
Wow, that's not good.
Yeah, but surgeon that did my thumb, I told him if you ever need to go retire and go fishing, he'd be good at tying flies. I was, you know, this boating increase thing, you know, this is another legislature deal to grass straws to get money, and unrelated, just like the cigarette tax, you know, that they increased and all. Well, the revenue went down because the people went out of state. And with this boat.
Well, the revenue's gone down to about a third of what it was.
Yeah, and then, you know, when I first got my antique boat out of mothballs, I was looking at something, you know, my 58 Johnson motor and boat that I still use.
Right.
They had just passed that law, and it was a $5 fee going into the bay and so forth and all, and it generally went up and everything and all. But as far as the dredging and everything, I know for a fact, because I got a relative with the Port Administration, commercial channels and everything are dredged by the state. The money doesn't come from the recreational boating industry. The commercial channels have to be kept open for commercial shipping, just like at Ocean City. The reason that one big channel is open because of West Ocean City and the commercial boats. DNR does go out, I will say, and maintain, like, put in those markers for at different times of the year, crab line or clam line, you know, where you can or where you cannot and everything. And
yep.
All. I know they're underfunded, but and the people that have the 65-foot boats, Alan, when I took the Coast Guard course, and I could be wrong, I was trying to look in the book, so many gross tons of boats documented, and there's no registration fee in the state when you get into those larger vessels.
Right.
And a lot of people, as you notice, they register their boats in other states or other locations, even though they may be kept in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely,
you know,
right.
They're trying
and the reason is they want to avoid the 5% fee.
Well, that's right, too. And if you ever notice, ships and different things and all registered in different countries, And like these people get on one and they get hurt or injured, they think they're going to sue them, but they can't because they're not covered by the U.S.
Right.
And but they want to tax kayaks. It's getting so. And I was talking to Billy over there. Somebody wants to take a couple kids fishing. It's $100.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, of course. On the other hand, too, people throw money away on this frivolous electronics and everything. You or I'll buy a $200 fishing rod and reel 20 years ago and still have it. And they'll throw $200 away on electronics, and 6 months later, it's obsolete.
Well, people that work in people now, their federal tax has been cut, so they get an average of $40 per paycheck now, every two weeks. So,
yeah.
You know, they have additional money to spend, even though they're bankrupt in their kids' Social Security.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. Hey, give it to me now. Yeah.
But I was talking to guy that does mechanical work down in Maggot. He's retired mechanic, had a garage and all, and he said to me a lot of boats were not even being uncovered this year because of the increase in gas. And I said,
well, absolutely.
I said I guess so, but then on the same hand, you got a boat worth $175,000 and gets used June, July, and August, and if you got to worry about a little bit of an increase in gas, You can't afford the boat.
Well, I understand that, and if you look at this map as far as the public boating channels is concerned, that's available online, and you can just go to the DNR website, and it's /boating/channels. It'll take you right to it. You can see where the access is, and it's, Anne Arundel County is covered up, and Baltimore County is covered up with all the public channels, and then the rest of them are pretty evenly dispersed across the state, up the Potomac and up the Patuxent and those areas. But you got to do something about the economy before you do something about the other stuff. You stimulate the economy. You stimulate jobs. You stimulate income. You don't distract, deter businesses from coming into the state, and things will work out. But the chart is pretty significant, from 55 down to about 22 million or $21 million. I mean, that's quite a decrease, and that's been in the last 6 years. And of course, the economy has taken a dump ever since. I mean, since then. So the need has remained pretty much constant, and the income has, dropped off significantly, and it's way behind, So.
Well, I think that's significant.
So I mean, it's the old thing, and Bob Gaudette, the boating guy here in Maryland, is coming up here at 6:30, and he'll talk more about this. And I said I'm not going to ambush you, but let's get to it, and maybe some of our callers will have some good questions for Bob, about the proposed increases, and why so much now? I mean, there's a handout sheet. I'll make that available to anybody, and I'll make all these links to these boating ramps and the channels and all that stuff. I'll make that available. But here's what the bill will do in the short run. It's House Bill 1307. It will provide critical funding source that will be used to stabilize annual funding for boating-related activities, maintain 400 public boating facilities, 265 public navigation channels, including shallow water channels no longer maintained by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And then it's up to that. The most fees associated with boating, including those for boat registration, certificate of number, certificate of title, and licenses for manufacturers and dealers, were established decades ago and may have not changed since they were created. Cost of a certificate of title for a vessel, $2, has not changed since 1965. Cost for a replacement certificate, $2, has not changed since 1973. Cost of a certificate number, $24 every 2 years, has not changed since 1983. Cost of a boat manufacturer dealer's annual license, $25, has not changed since 1986. So, there's more to this, so...
I know, but like you said before, even if they went ahead with this increase and all, it's still going to be a drop in the bucket to what they're looking for.
Exactly. It's still going to be a shortfall, no question.
Yeah. And, I had some people that were influential with talking and everything and all. And this state and these politicians down there, a lot of things, were handled and everything and sort of smoothed over their spending because this state and its location with all the defense contractors and the bioresearch. And things are tightening up and everything and all. And, everything's not free anymore to those guys.
Oh, that's true. It's not. Exactly
and,
right.
I don't know. They're grasping at straws.
Well, I don't know if they're grasping at straws. I think they have a legitimate argument that the fees haven't increased and the revenue has dropped off. But let's take a look at the root cause. I mean, if it was boom times and, back like it was in 2004, 2005, and people were out boating every weekend, and gas was $2 a gallon. I don't think we'd have all these bills coming in to raise revenue. My question is, why don't you cut the spending?
Sure.
And in this case, their argument is going to be, there are expenses that we have to have. We have to cover. The money is short.
Yeah, like 10 cases of bottled water going out on a DNR boat when they could have an igloo ice chest.
Well, Ann, I don't know about that. I mean, that's chump change. That's a kind of a low blow. But seriously, I don't begrudge anybody drinking water, for God's sake.
That whole thing has been blown out of proportion, too, but... I agree, but the thing that gets me is though that they have these giant increases, and we're not going to realize any benefits from that. It's going to go into the
well until you run aground.
Yeah.
then you say, man, I should have paid that, buddy. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate the call. Bye bye. There he goes, Charles. Oh, where'd Charles go? Charles in Baltimore. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. I want to talk about saving your hunting dog's back legs.
All right.
I used to raise hunting dogs maybe 50 years ago.
All right.
Their legs went I gave them away to a pet. At any rate, when we had those terrible snows 2 years ago, my St. Bernard decided he wouldn't walk steps, and all of a sudden, his legs gave way. And I thought, oh, my goodness, 180-pound dog, I can't pick him up. So
right.
I began a program which has culminated into the following, and I thought your listeners, when your hunting dog or any kind of a dog or cat begins to have trouble with the back legs, I found this to be very successful. In fact, I've been on the radio about it, that the dog actually walks steps again. And I put him on this product that's constantly advertised on your program, Rescue Q 1250 Plus.
Right.
I also gave him Aquamarine, which I only use one a day. I put him on joint support, which is glucosamine chondroitin sulfate.
Right.
I gave him a product called Niacinamide, which is niacin or B3.
Right.
I gave him also desiccated liver tablets, and I decided to put him on B1 for the nerves in the legs. I gave him a product called Calcens, which is calcium, and I had a vet tell me that to use a product called Dancing Paws, which is a high-potency joint recovery, and the dog has survived on it. He is actually walking rather carefully, little trouble with balance and equilibrium, but the dog is living, and I'll tell you, when you have a dog that you not only hunt with, but that you love, it's heartbreaking to see
the
decline.
Yep.
And so I thought maybe your listeners know there is some hope for these kind of dogs.
Well, that's good, Charles. Thank you for that valuable information. We appreciate it.
And thank you for your program. Oh, you're part of my life. I listen to
hey,
you.
Hey, Charles, by the way, Charles.
Real old.
By the way.
You're my hunting experience.
Charles, by the way. At the Sheep Expo the other night, on the Saturday night auction, a desert bighorn ram, and I can't tell you what state, the permit to shoot a desert bighorn, sold for $87,500.
I know. They're just taking advantage of you.
Isn't that something?
It's terrible.
Yeah. The governor's, governor's tag for an elk hunt in Pennsylvania went for $37,500.
people with money.
The economy is in rough shape, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, Charles. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for your show.
All righty. Bye-bye. See ya. Let's talk to Bob in Baltimore, then we'll take a break. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Al?
Good. What's up?
Oh, just a little remark on fees. I was coming across North Avenue, East North Avenue, the other day, and all these lines of city folk were out, and I pulled over and said, what's going on? And this girl said, well, I'm getting my free cell phone.
Yep.
I'm on my fourth one.
Yep.
I just use a different name every time.
Yep.
I get 250 minutes a month.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So the deck is rigged, okay? Some people pay, some people don't pay.
Well, if you don't have a qualifying income or a disqualifying income, you can get a free cell phone.
Yeah, but I don't deal drugs. I don't use them to deal drugs. You know, I don't do it.
Yeah, but you can still get if your income's way down, you can still get one if you qualify.
I got too much self-respect to do that.
Again, Bob, has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with what you have inferred.
Four phones with different names?
Bob, it has nothing to do with what you have inferred, okay? You can qualify for a cell phone if you have an income that qualifies you to have that, or lack of income that qualifies you to have a cell phone from the government so you can communicate.
Right.
There you go.
Well,
and what does that have to do with the
I got a couple of
what does that have to do with the price of hunting license or boating fees?
Well, it's just fees in general. Some people pay, some people
Again,
don't.
Bob, it's totally unrelated. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Judy wants to talk about cell phones. Judy, good morning.
Yes, I don't understand these politicians. They act like public service means that we're a service to them.
I agree.
They are the public servants.
Right.
And
I agree.
They're giving away to people. These cell phones are being abused. A lot of them are drug dealers.
Judy, we're not talking about cell phones.
I know. But I'm saying that these fees, that they're squandering money.
Do you own a boat, Judy?
No, I did years ago.
I see. Do you hunt?
I can't afford one.
Do you hunt?
I used to, but I don't.
Yeah, okay.
I can't afford it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. Thanks, and you have a good day. We're talking about boating fees, hunting licenses, hunting regulations, a gill net ban. Where are my commercial fishermen? Come on, guys. You guys can't be happy about this gill net ban. You can't be happy about a lot of these laws that are in the General Assembly right now. You know, it's very interesting. 20 years ago, I have documentation. I just came across it the other day from 91. Rockfish, Gamefish, MSSA. You know, it's been the same call for many, many, many years. It's just been a different messenger. It's just been a different guy at the helm. And the MSSA, the Maryland Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association, continues to lead the charge to ban gill nets and to end commercial fishing for rockfish. So that, what, we can have more fish for the recreational fishermen? Well, my understanding is that the resources of the state, the natural resources, belong to all the citizens of the state of Maryland. Just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there. Just like white-tailed deer, just like black bears, just like wild turkeys, just like rabbits and raccoons and muskrats, they all belong to the citizens of the state of Maryland. Now, the vast, vast, vast majority are not consumers of those natural resources as far as being hunters and fishermen and things like that. We have a tremendous opportunity here in Maryland, and I don't think we take full advantage of it as fishermen and hunters, but we have a tremendous natural resource here. We have every opportunity. Fishing, we got freshwater, we got tidal, we got offshore, we got the Chesapeake Bay. We've got the estuary there for the striped bass and big ones. We have right at our fingertips. We have hunting opportunities for deer and big game and turkeys and waterfowl and upland birds and small game, you know, and here we are. But the vast majority of the people in Maryland wouldn't know the difference between a red-tailed hawk and a black buzzard if they saw one sitting on the light going around the beltway, you know, so... All right, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We do have to take a break. It's time for me to tell you a couple of things. Number one, Sean Mann, you know. Sean Mann has been doing not only guided hunts, but he's been involved in calling and waterfowl attraction for his entire life. I mean, just about. I think he went on his first hunt when he was 9 years old. And loved to hear the goose call and created one called the Eastern Shoreman. And you can share in that opportunity, if you like, to help your goose season. Man, the geese are everywhere on the shore right now. And in the air, looks like they're migrating north already. I don't know if that's fact or not, but I'll tell you, if you live on the shore, Queen Anne's County is just covered up with geese. Why Mills and the whole area down there? But anyway, I digress. The Eastern Shoreman Goose Call is capable of reproducing all the sounds of a Canada goose, and it's very easy to operate. And we would invite you to take a look at it online and even hear it online at seanmann.com, www.seanmann.com. Or if you'd like to book a trip with Sean to Canada or locally, you can check that out, too, online at seanmann.com. Or if you have some questions about it, you could even call 1-800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. That's the office in Talbot County. And you can get a hold of somebody there and have a chat with them. That's Sean Mann, Sean Mann Outdoors, makers of the great Eastern Shoreman Goose Call. plus snow goose and duck calls and everything else. See the full line online, SeanMann.com. You know, it's time to gear up for fishing season at Clyde Sports Shop's 10-day sale, March 3rd through March 11th, which is actually 9 days. You can own a new Shakespeare rod or reel or a fine Fluger fishing reel at the best prices of the year. But the best part is you can take your empty spools in, just, you know, rip the line off and take your reel in, your empty reel, and have it filled with premium monofilament, new, have it filled up with fresh line. Premium monofilament, name brand, and half price. Yeah, best price of the year, half price. If you like Spectra Power Pro line, you can get that from 15 to 100-pound test for only 10 cents a yard. And you can save big on pen reels and all the GTI series to the 220 GTO and the 330 LD, all on sale. But the Shakespeare deals are the real deals. The Tidewater trolling rods with a roller tip and a gimbal, $39.95. Level Wine Shakespeare Arsenal big water reels are $32.95, and this famous Shakespeare ugly stick rods are all on sale, from the ultralight to the surf rods, all on sale. The ugly stick, that's right. And I've been accused of being struck by the ugly stick when I was born, but that's possible. The Fluger Tryon spinning and bait casting reels are specially priced, too. The Tryon, which is a spinning reel, it's a micro reel, the GX, it just in time for trout season, $39.95. The Tryon LP bait cast is just $99.95. So why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway Exit 9, 242-6108. You can gear up for fishing season at their 10-day sale, March 3rd through March 11th, 410-242-6108. If you want an up-to-date fishing report, that number is 410-247-FISH, 247-3474. Clyde Sports Shop, over 50 years of serving Maryland sportsmen.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Some call it having eyes for a table or reading the table. It's how the best waiters in restaurants know what type of service you prefer before you tell them. The journal Sarah Nassauer says waiters don't like to see people in bad moods when they walk in.
The person might think that the restaurant is bad. Any little thing that they don't like will be amplified. So they're really aware of that and want to be sort of even more careful. You might even actually get better service if they think you're in a bad mood.
Sarah says when people are unhappy with service, they often don't say too much.
There's just sort of this human instinct against creating conflict or grabbing attention. And so restaurants try to figure out what's wrong because it's in their interest to make you happy when you walk out the door.
And the whole matter of dessert can be a delicate issue, especially when waiting on a family. Mom and dad might not want the kids to have dessert, but if the kids hear the word, they might flip out and start screaming for dessert loudly.
Micro talks with a real Ford service advisor.
Say hi to Fiona. Why would I bring my vehicle here for service?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Get a high-performance Motorcraft Tested Tough Plus or Tested Tough Max battery with a $30 rebate.
So when you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership for service, we can very likely see you. Fiona.
First phase of the service drive.
See participating Ford dealer for rebate details or visit FordOwner.com through 33112.
Thank you for calling Bank. Our banking hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
You have reached Bank. Please call back during our normal business hours.
Welcome to hours on Monday through Friday.
It is after 5 p.m. We are closed. Hi, thanks for calling Ally Bank. How may I help you?
If your bank doesn't have a real person available 24/7, you need an ally. Ally Bank. No nonsense, just people sense. Member FDIC.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, joining us right now is Bob Gaudette. Good morning, Bob. Let's see. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Tell us your title, first of all.
I'm Director of Boating Services for the Department of Natural Resources.
Ah, and you're the guy with a big target on his back right now, aren't you?
That's basically it. I'm the guy.
Well, I appreciate having a conversation with you the other day and the information that you sent me. And I did read the article, having to explain the references to Homer's Odyssey there. But that aside, it makes a good point that we have a shortfall in income, what's new in state government, and an increase in cost associated with maintaining safe boating here in Maryland.
That's correct.
Yep. Some of the fee increases are substantial.
Yes.
And it sounds to me like you're taking one great big bite out of the apple rather than spreading out the pain over a couple of years. Is that
right. Accurate? Yeah, let me give you a listener just a quick overview of what we're proposing to do.
All right.
Basically, we proposed House Bill 1307. It's a departmental bill, and it's really designed to enhance and stabilize the annual revenues that DNR needs to support its public boating facilities really all over Maryland.
Right.
We have about 400 public boating facilities, including, you know, our popular state park and local boat ramps.
Right.
About 200 public navigation channels and a whole array of critical services that we provide to the boating public.
Right.
Including all the buoys, et cetera, that we put out and signs and of course, the law enforcement in our waterways. And I think maybe a lot of people don't realize that where the money comes from and has come from over the last 50 years that we've had our program, that people, be able to, a lot of people just assume that they go out and they see a nice, beautiful ramp and it's just there, but they don't know how it got there. And we funded this in the past through the Waterway Improvement Fund, which the 5% vessel excise tax when you purchase a boat in Maryland goes to this fund, and it's used for basically improving public boating access in Maryland. And we're in a situation right now, because of the economy, that the dollars have basically dropped 50% from about $30 million in attainment every year in revenues down to about 15.
That's because people aren't buying boats.
That's because people aren't buying boats. Actually,
because, you know, there's other expenses. There's, you know, there's certainly unemployment in Maryland, but
right. You
know, you got gasoline now bumping $3.70 a gallon, and you've got all these other things that are hitting us hard in our economy. And
Yeah. You
know, if I'm in business, people aren't walking through the door, so you know, the whole economy is in a downturn.
Right, and I think a lot of this was also tied to the housing market, because segment of the revenue reduction was from the mid-size boat, which is that $250,000, let's say, to $400,000 boat, where people were using home equity loans to purchase vessels. And because of that, when the housing market went and people started losing equity in their homes, they just stopped buying boats. Certainly, the department completely understands that this is a tough time to recommend any increase. But,
yeah, the timing of all these revenue bills is just horrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we understand that. But we're in a situation where we have about $41 million in boating needs in Maryland that we've identified. That includes about $21 million a year that we do just to maintain our channels and public ramps. And then, in addition to that, the Corps of Engineers recently indicated to the department that they're no longer going to be maintaining their shallow water channels around the bay, that primarily serve recreational boaters and commercial watermen. There's about 60 of those in Maryland.
Right.
About half of those are in some kind of state of where they need maintenance dredging work. So we're in a situation where we have projects like Kent Narrows, Rock Hall, and others, and they're all over the state, that need to be maintained. And there's basically in a situation now where I think last year we were able to fund about 11% of our projects. So we're in a situation where we have almost like a perfect storm where we're having an increase in demands on the fund and a decrease in the revenues that are available. And when we did an assessment of what we could do to potentially make this up, because we don't want to end up seeing Maryland become a high tide state.
Right.
Obviously, when I go out and take my boat out and I use one of the ramps that we funded, I expect that I can go out there at low tide and still be able to use it. It's going to be in good shape. I know a lot of your listeners are trailer boaters. Those that aren't, they want to be able to go in channels and have the channels, you know, so they don't have to worry about running aground. So we're in a situation where we need to figure out how we're going to get additional revenues in order to make this happen. And it's not a situation where we're trying to raise revenues for something new. We're just trying to raise revenues to take care of what we have.
Right. I understand. Well, okay, great explanation in a nutshell, which boils it all down very, very succinctly. I mean, you do have all this on a handout sheet along with a couple of sheets that I'll make available to my listeners that if they're interested of all the facilities, all the boat ramps and all the navigable channels and that type of thing, the boating channels, recreational channels that you have there.
Correct.
Let me ask a question, Bob. You talk about commercial fishermen and recreational fishermen. Who maintains the bigger channels for the shipping channels and
Yeah, shipping channels are maintained by the Corps.
All right.
And those are their top priority channels. So
right.
The shipping channels are fine.
Right.
They have funding for those, and they also have funding for, like, say, the Wicomico that brings the barges up to Salisbury.
Right.
That's considered heavy barge traffic, and the Corps is going to continue to do those. It's those channels that are primarily serving commercial watermen and recreational boaters that the Corps puts as a low priority because they don't consider boating to be commerce. Commerce, in the Corps' definition, is tons of transported material. And because of that, we have not yet been able to get them to recognize boating as an industry. And it is a big industry in Maryland. We recognize that.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a $2 billion industry, employs a lot of people. And
you said $2 billion with a B.
$2 billion with a B. It's a big industry.
Let me ask you this question then, since you brought up the industry. What does the National Marine Manufacturers Association and Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation have to say about the increases in the fees? Do you have support of the industry?
I think that the industry would prefer that the vessel excise tax not be increased. Right now it's 5%,
right,
as opposed to 6% as a sales tax. When you buy a boat in Maryland, you don't pay a sales tax. You pay an excise tax, which then goes to the Waterway Improvement Fund.
Right.
I would certainly indicate that they would like to see these fees lower, obviously.
Right.
We're in a situation where the demands on the fund are going to be so great that's difficult for us to do, but obviously there's room for compromise. But one of the things I forgot one of the things I forgot to mention is this is a phased-in fee increase. It's over two biennial terms, and what that means...
That's over 4 years.
Over 4 years, correct. And it starts out raising about, in the fiscal first year, about $3.5 million, and then in FY16... we're looking at about $9.4 million. So it's going to take 4 years for it to build this up.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Let me ask you the question about the excise tax then. The 6%, if you went from 5 to 6%, which is a 20% increase.
Right.
It's not just 1%. I mean, it's a 20% increase.
Correct.
Would that solve the problem?
No, it raised about $3 million.
That's all.
That's it.
Yeah.
The largest increase you can get is out of the boat registration. This is really kind of a new use for boat registration. The boat registration they pay now that your listeners and their boaters, which is $24 every 2 years, generates about $2 million, and the majority of it goes to the Natural Resources Police.
Right.
This is really a whole new use for the registration fee because there's not enough funds coming into the Waterway Improvement Fund or enough revenues to cover our whole network that we have of boating facilities around the state and our channels. So that's certainly something new for the registration fee.
All right, let's take a couple calls. We have Dale in Easton and Jerry in Severna Park. Let's go to Dale first. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy. How
morning,
are you?
Dale. How are you doing?
I'd like to ask your guest, first of all, how many county boat ramps are there that are maintained by the county?
I'm having a hard time hearing Dale.
That would be how many county boat ramps are there that are maintained by the counties themselves?
The vast majority of boating facilities in the state are maintained by local governments. And we have, there's 400, a little over 400 total boating facilities, including ramps and soft landings, public landings, et cetera, a little over 200 ramps. I think the state has about a little over 20, 22 of those. So the vast majority of boating access in Maryland is really through local governments, and we give grants to them. In some cases, they match funds with us, but we give grants to them to go ahead and develop those and, to some extent, help maintain them.
Well, my question then, Alan, is this because most of, if not all, I think Dorchester may be the only one that doesn't, they charge a ramp pass. You have to obtain a ramp pass.
Right.
Right.
Oh, all of them do. Yeah.
Dorchester didn't, but maybe they do
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, actually, most of the state, Dale, most of the ramps are not charged. But, for example, I live on Eastern Shore, so I get the Talbot County Pass and the Queen Anne's County Pass. And those, like Talbot County and Queen Anne's County, they actually have a staff person that goes out and cleans up the facilities, makes sure that the porta pots are doing fine, make sure there's nothing wrong with the facilities, checks them. And that's primarily what they use it for. In addition, we have some of our projects, if the costs exceed a certain amount of money, they have to match it, and they'll use those funds to help match their costs.
So you do partially fund, help the counties out in maintaining.
That's correct.
The county boat.
That
ramp.
Is correct.
What percentage, Bob, is that? I mean,
it's actually going to go up as a result of the funding situation that we have. This past summer, we met with all the local jurisdictions and we redid our policies on how we fund projects. And basically, it's going to require that the local jurisdictions for projects that are $100,000 and higher are going to have to match the funds with us 50-50. Well, so if you have a project, for example, let's say that you break some pilings at a facility or something, and it costs $25,000 to go ahead and get it fixed, we would typically cover that 100% with the Waterway Improvement Fund. However, if they're going to go ahead and put a new parking lot and it costs $150,000, then it would be $75,000.
Well, what that means then, Bob, is that the counties are going to charge more for their ramp passes.
That is a possibility.
I mean, if you're requiring them to put more funding into the pot, they don't have any choice.
Well, they're certainly strapped like everybody else. I absolutely agree with that.
So
we do have the ability in our grants. They have to come to us before they can charge a fee. And one of the responsibilities that I have is to be sure that their fees are not so exorbitant that it's going to become a problem for the boater.
Right.
The biggest issue I've heard with with the whole charging of the local government's charging for the use of the ramps is what's the possibility of getting some kind of statewide pass that you have to just go to one place, get a pass, and use local ramps everywhere.
Right.
And that's something that we explored in the past, and we couldn't get any traction on it politically, but I think that's something that needs to be explored further.
Because, again, the increases in the registration fee are going to lead to other expenses for boaters. I mean, it's quite obvious.
Right.
Well, Dale, Bob, let me ask you this question, and that's a great question, Dale. I appreciate that.
All right, Alan, I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy, thanks.
All right,
Dale, thank you. Let me ask you this question. You know, people are scaling back in every aspect, but if you love the water, you love the water. You may not be out on your motorboat, but you may have invested in a kayak or a canoe or something like that. Where are we with registering kayaks and canoes and that type of vessel?
Well, this legislation does not register kayaks or canoes. What it does is that now if you have a kayak that has a motor on it, you have to register.
Well, sure, yeah.
But for basic paddle boats, what we've offered in this is a voluntary decal, and
Voluntary.
Voluntary. It's a voluntary decal. And what it is we have a situation that comes up often where kayaks and canoes and other paddle boats wash up on other people's property after storms, et cetera. We don't know who owns it because they're not registered in Maryland. And the issue is, if I get that call, I have to call a natural resources police officer and have them go out in the waterway and see if there's someone floating out there,
yeah,
or is in trouble. So the decal would go ahead and identify the vessel, give us a number. We can go ahead and call the person and find out what's going on.
And is there a charge for this voluntary decal?
The voluntary decal is $12 every 2 years. So it's just something that we can go ahead and track them with.
But do these people not use the public boating facilities like everybody else?
Yes, some do, obviously. But generally speaking,
I'm just questioning. A, what's the benefit to them, or B,
right,
what's the advantage, or the, you know, what's the disadvantage to this idea? To what's the status of kayaks and canoes? I mean, shouldn't they have to pay a little bit of something too?
I think that's certainly something worth, you know, up for debate. At this point in time, we decided not to head in that direction.
Yeah.
We do give some very limited funding to that activity. We have what's called small grants, like $5,000 if we want to go ahead and put in a soft launch. Sometimes when we build our boating facilities, we'll just add next to our hard ramp just a small beach where they can go ahead and launch, because a lot of them don't like using our hard ramps.
Mm-hmm.
And so our output for
you're investing in the recreation with nothing coming back to you
from the paddle boat community. That answer to that is correct.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to find that out. What's the main thing you want to? I'll tell you what. Let's take a break and then. Let's talk to Jerry in Severna Park. Then we'll take a break and then we'll come back
and try again.
Jerry had to leave us. Call back, Jerry. Yeah, we lost him. I do want to get Tim in here though. Tim, good morning. How are you?
How you doing, Alan?
Good, buddy. How are you? Tell us quickly about our new state record catfish. Give us the angler's name.
The angler was Sean Wetzel out of Ortana, Pennsylvania. It was caught Thursday about 11 o'clock out of Fort Washington Marina.
Yep.
It was 80.74 pounds, 48.5 inches long, with a 37 3/4 inch girth.
Good grief.
That's a big fish.
That's a big fish, yep. You have pictures on your website, Tim?
Pictures are right on the main website, yep. There's pictures of Sean with the measurements and everything.
Gotcha. That's thecatfishnation.com, right?
Yep.
Thecatfishnation.com. All right, Tim, appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much. Caught me right in the middle of a conversation with Bob Gaudette here. So, all right, buddy, thanks.
Talk to you later.
See you, Tim. There he goes. And Susan in Greensboro will get right to you, but I have to tell our listeners about some of our great sponsors here, including Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, the folks that sprayed my Ford truck bed, my new Ford truck bed, and also helped me put on I purchased it from them, a great cover, an undercover cover for a cap, and they do truck accessories as well. But Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offers Linex protection that comes to you. The Bay Linex mobile unit can come to your home, your farm, your business, your job site, and apply the correct Linex coating, whether it's a consumer coating, a commercial coating, or an industrial coating, to your deck, your trailers, your tanks, your forklifts, your lift gates, any equipment that needs protection against corrosion, chemicals, or the elements, or needs a non-skid finish. And the Linex materials are environmentally friendly. Protect your investment in your pickup truck, as I mentioned, like I did. Feel protected with a Linex spray-on bed liner, or prolong the life of your equipment with Linex. You can even protect your garage, your shop, or basement floor with the new Aspartex floor coating. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online at baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is your contact. He's the owner, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199 for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Now more than just bedliners. Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Hey, I talked to our buddies down at Tochterman's the other day. Fishing's heating up, I'll tell you what. And they're ready for you with about 1,000 fishing rods on display and 700 reels. Fly fishing season right around the corner. The fly tying room is going crazy. The fly room is just stocked to the gills. A new selection of Costa Del Mar sunglasses coming in. All kinds of up-to-date tackle. The electric reels are doing well for the guys fishing, fishing offshore, doing the wreck fishing out in deep water off Ocean City, off the coast, and that's doing really well. All the new stuff has come in, and if you'd like to learn how to tie a fly or how to create your own lures or whatever it might be, stop by and see them at Tochterman's, especially at the fly shop, or just stop by in general. If you have a question about bass fishing, Gene will take care of you. Question about fly fishing, Joe will take care of you. Offshore, that'll be one of the other experts down there. And then, of course, the personalities of Tony and Dee are always on hand there to entertain and answer all your questions. Tochterman's. They're located at 1919 1925 Eastern Avenue. They've been there since 1916. 410-327-6942. 410-327-6942.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store. Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back with Bob Gaudette, who is Maryland State Boating. Is it fair to call you the czar?
Well, I'm certainly heavily involved in everything that people do with boating as far as getting on the water.
There you go. Let's talk to Susan in Greensboro. Good morning, Susan. How you
good
doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's your husband?
He's good.
Good.
He's good. He's on his way to work, actually.
Really? Good for him.
Looking forward to doing some fishing, though.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You had a question?
My question is, they keep raising fees, and then you hear that the money that was already allocated for those things was spent on other things. So how do we know this money's going to be spent as you're requiring it, or you're asking for it?
Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Good.
The basic question is, how are we going to be sure this money's going to be spent on what it's supposed to be spent on? Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes.
I think that one thing I'd like to really mention, and it's kind of important, is the fact that this administration has been very supportive of boating, and in situations where they had to, because basically, we're a cash fund, and in cases where we had to have had cash moved around within the state budget, we've always been replaced dollar for dollar in our capital projects, because the governor wants to be sure that our projects, continue to support the industry as well as provide jobs. And he sees that as very important for the state. He sees it very important for boating. That's been concern raised by several organizations and obviously boaters like yourself. And I think that it's important that the citizen, that boaters continue to indicate that They believe that this is a dedicated fund. It's for that purpose, and that it should remain for the boater and not be used for other purposes. Obviously, as I've indicated so far, we have $15 million coming in. We have $41 million in need, and we're in a situation where we need every dollar we can get. And we would hope that if boaters support that this increase in registration fees, that these monies remain where they are so they can be used for the purpose that they're intended.
Bob, are we at the critical point right now?
Critical point meaning what?
I mean, as far as all these projects are concerned. I mean,
we're at a very critical point. We're in a situation where we're going to have enough funding in the future, in the projected out years, to only do a fraction of the projects that we have to do in order to maintain our facilities and keep the channels open. And we could very well be in a situation in the near future where we're going to have a lot of major channels in the state, both state channels, local channels, and federal channels, that are going to become impassable. And it's really important that we're going to be in a situation that we can address these issues as they come up, even if it's the most critical ones, so that the general boating public continue to have reliable and safe boating access. That's really our goal here. We recognize the fact that your listeners don't want to see fees increased. We don't want to see fees increased, but we're in a situation where if we don't do this, we're simply not going to have the dollars to keep up this network of facilities that we have that really are the envy of the nation, because we do have a beautiful network of facilities in this state
right, for
boating access.
That is true.
We want to keep it that way, and so do the boaters.
Yep. Bob, I appreciate you joining us. Susan, did that answer your question?
I would like them to answer also, have they looked at other ways to reduce spending? Because my income's gone down by more than 50% since 2008.
Well, that,
I never collected unemployment. I kept working. I'm going to school.
Susan, send me an email. I'll forward it to Bob. We're out of time. Get out, stay out, stay safe. Thanks, Bob.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award.